Good morning. Welcome to worship today. It's good to see everybody. Do have a lot of things I want to make sure you're aware of this morning, so check your bulletin, but also share with you that if you had not heard, Harold Rose's funeral will be tomorrow at the church at 2 o'clock with visitation beforehand from 12:30 to 1:30. Hope many of you proclaim the resurrection. With the Rose family with us tomorrow. That funeral starts at 2 here. Want to point out a resource that some folks have put together, our Parish Ed folks. This is a bag called Take Out Church. We know that there's a lot of traveling that happens in the summer, particularly in households with children. And so this is a bag put together designed for when you are not able to be here because you're on vacation or whatever, and maybe you're going to be in the car, and there are Bible verses to look at every day and various activities to go with you, including a flat Jesus that you can take out when you're visiting the beach or the Grand Canyon. Wherever you are, and get a selfie with you and Jesus at the beach. We trust that Jesus goes with you wherever you go, whether you have this kit or not, but maybe that's a fun reminder a way to bring into focus that we know that Jesus is with us wherever we go. So there's a sign-up sheet for this in the back. I believe there are two of these that you can check out back and leave it in the back when you're done with it. So I'll leave that there. And if anybody needs it before I get it back there, that's where it is. There's a great opportunity this summer to engage in some intentional Bible reading. It's on the back cover of your bulletin. It's going to be Summer of Psalms, and you can access this on Facebook, or you can subscribe to it by email, or once it's up in a week or so, I'm going to print out the PDFs and put them back here in the back too. So just a way that you can be intentional about saying, I don't have to commit myself for my whole life every day always to do this, but for this season, I think it's about 30 days. It doesn't say on here, but I believe it's about 30 days. I'm gonna read Psalms for 30 days and see how it goes. So hope some of you will join us in that. Those details are in here in the back. Do wanna Kim say a word to us about our day camp that's coming up. Are you coming this way? Are you going to use your teacher voice? All right. Tony, do you want to say a word about, or Joe? Somebody want to mention what this basket is right here? Or do you want me to talk about it? Joe, Tony's putting it on you. Marshalls, Ruby Tuesdays, Lowe's, Amazon, Food Lion, Xbox One, Village. So see Joe, buy some tickets, support our scholarship funds. We have several prayer shawls this morning, right?
So these prayer shawls are for the family of Harold. Some of the members have already received prayer shawls, but these are for Michael and Greg, his sons. And then Glenna, his sister, is the only person that had not received a prayer shawl in the past. So if y'all bless these.
So add to our prayers today, Walter Blower. Shall I go help? Go ahead and then? Okay. Walter Blower, who is Chip's son, Sheila's brother-in-law. Walter is being deployed to Kuwait, and he goes to California today, which they knew, but I guess he's going a little earlier than they had known. And so Chip was here setting up this morning, and then he, I think, realized that Walter was leaving sooner. And so Chip went to go say a farewell to Walter. But we're going to keep him in our prayers, certainly, as he prepares for that deployment and then deploys for what we think will be a year, but it's not always immediately clear in the Army, as some of you all have lived that experience, you know. Thank you, Neil. Please, yeah, thank you.
Dear Hope Group friends, thanks for all you have done for me since I have been under the weather. Your visits, thoughts, and prayers were most appreciated. God bless you all. Love, Jana and Bobby.
We wish happy birthday this week to Herbert, Shane, Raya, Rex, and Janine, and happy anniversary to Clifton and Kim, Christopher and Aaron, and Eddie and Tina. Are there other folks we should add to that list? Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand as we begin on page 94. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the
Let us pray. O Lord God, we bring before you the cries of a sorrowing world. In your mercy, set us free from the chains that bind us, and defend us from everything that is evil, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children will head this way for a children's message.
All right. Well, guys, what do you do when somebody does something nice for you, or they maybe give you a present or do something for you that's unexpected? What might you do?
Say thank you.
Say thank you.
Write a thank you card.
Write a thank you card. You think that's what you might do? Okay. Well, I brought a card today. What does it say out there in the front?
Thank you.
All right. So let's see what's inside. Just a short message. Gavin, you want to read that for me?
For giving us new life through Jesus Christ.
Excellent. And I signed my name on that. You know, these things, thank you cards, aren't very popular right now. With email and other things that are going on, people don't necessarily take time to sit down and write thank you cards. But we do see it occasionally. Okay? In our gospel lesson today, Jesus is going to heal a man who's full of demons. And he takes those demons and he casts them out into a herd of pigs. And the pigs go running off into a lake and they drown. So the demon spirits are gone. So to thank Jesus, this gentleman wants to stay with Jesus and follow him. But Jesus told him to go back to where he was from and to share that message of what he had done. And that was the best way for him to be thanked. So sometimes it's the message that we give to somebody might not necessarily be what we want to do at that point in time, but maybe in the long run, what Jesus asks us to do, to go back and to share with others, is better than staying with him at that time. Because we're always with him. And if we're sharing that message, that means we're saying, thank you, Jesus, for what you do for us. All right, I'm going to let you guys sign this, but I'm going to put it down there in the fellowship hall so you guys can make your own note. And anybody else that wants to say thank you and put a note here, we would appreciate that. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the awesome things you do for us. May we continue to be thankful and follow you. Amen. All right, thank you guys.
Those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, here I am, to a nation that did not call on my name. I held out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and offering incense on bricks, who sit inside tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat swine's flesh with broth of abominable things in their vessels, who say, keep to yourself. Do not come near me, for I am too holy for you. These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day long. See, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their laps their iniquities and their ancestors' iniquities together, says the Lord. Because they offered incense on the mountains and reviled me on the hills, I will measure into their laps full payment for their actions. Thus says the Lord, as the wine is found in the cluster, and they say, do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it. So I will do for my servant's sake, and not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob, and from Judah inheritors of my mountains. My chosen shall inherit it, and my servant shall settle there. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 22. And it's not back there. And I don't have it. Okay, I'm going to turn around.
But you, O Lord, do not be far away. O my help, come quickly to my aid.
Deliver my soul from the sword, my life from the power of the dog.
Save me from the mouth of the lion, from the horns of the wild oxen you have rescued me.
I will tell your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you.
You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all of you offspring of Israel.
For you do not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. You do not hide his face from me, but heard my cry.
From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him.
The poor shall be and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him.
For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations.
A reading from Galatians. Now before faith came, we were in prison and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you all are children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus and the disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As Jesus stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it has seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged Jesus not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now, there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So Jesus got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. When Romeo and Juliet fall in love, everything is rosy, right? Well, except for the fact that their families are mortal enemies. But confronted with this truth, Juliet balks at the idea that something as unimportant as a last name could keep them apart, and that's where we get this famous line. "What's in a name?" she says. "That which we call a rose, by any other name, would smell as sweet." Her argument is that the names they carry don't matter. What's important to her heart is the quality and the character of the one named. Swept away by love, she doesn't think Romeo's last name and her own should have any power over them. And in a way, she's right. The rose still smells sweet if it's called something else. They love each other, even if their families think that it's wrong. But as the plot of the play reaches its climax, we know for sure that the lovers' names and the consequences of those names that follow them are powerful. So powerful that Romeo and Juliet both lose their lives in pursuit of love. They aren't the only thing. They're certainly not the ultimate thing. But names do matter. We for sure get that sense in our gospel lesson today from the 8th chapter of Luke. From the get-go of this reading, Luke is naming names. Jesus and the disciples have stepped off the boat in the country of the Gerasenes, Luke wants us to know, a name which is meant to say to us that these people are not Jews. These are foreign people, unclean people, people who were not thought of as heirs to God's promises. All of that is wrapped up in this name, Gerasenes. And yet, as soon as Jesus steps off the boat, even in this land of foreigners, someone knows exactly who Jesus is, names him right off the bat. "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" It's one of the clearest namings of Jesus anywhere. And who is doing the naming? It's the demons. They know exactly who Jesus is. Apparently, Jesus is enough of a threat to their existence that the demons have made it their business to know Jesus' name. And the naming doesn't stop there, because then Jesus asks, "What is your name?" And the demons reply, "Legion." Apparently, it's a whole army of demons in there. Names have an awful lot to say in this story. Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, has power, apparently, even over these foreign demons, because he casts them out without breaking a sweat. And you have to think how the people hearing Luke's account of this later might have cheered and shouted here. Because Legion, that's the explicit name of the Roman army unit that would have been occupying Palestine in the lifetime of Jesus. The Legion was the embodiment of Roman power, and Jesus just nonchalantly kicks the Legion out and into the swine, where they are immediately drowned. This is a feel-good story for the people of God living under occupation. You mean a legion is destroyed and a herd of hogs are killed? Hogs, of course, being unclean. This is a feel-good moment. Like, anybody see the movie Independence Day years ago with Will Smith? They're fighting all these aliens, and the plane crashes, and Will Smith opens up that cockpit, and the alien rears up. Will Smith punches him right in the face and says, "Welcome to Earth," right? And everybody loves it because the hometown cause has triumphed in every way. That's what it would have been like hearing this story, that the legion has been dealt with and the unclean swine are killed. It's a feel-good moment. And more than just the people of Israel have cause to love this story, it's good news for us too. Jesus shows up in what the ancient world would have thought of as a place outside of his territory, not under his purview in this foreign land, and Jesus brings healing anyway. An entire legion, in fact, of demons is powerless against Jesus. And this man, who was naked, homeless, and chained among the tombs, when Jesus shows up, this man is healed, clothed, and restored to his community. This is good news. It's what Jesus does. And not just for a certain subset of people that we might expect. Jesus does all this for the sake of caring for a foreigner. But notice, it's not all celebration here. The people who see this happen are not happy. Did you catch that? The tormented, wretched, homeless man is restored and enthusiastic about Jesus. But pretty much everybody else around, they're not. Because this healing, clothing, and dignity for the formerly possessed man, it comes at a cost. Somebody lost their whole herd of valuable hogs, right? Several people, at least, lost their jobs, their livelihoods as herders. And even the ones who weren't directly impacted, they're afraid. I assume they're afraid of what the power of Jesus could mean, how Jesus might change things for them. And so everybody, not just the ones who saw it, not just the ones from the city, but even all the folks who've gathered from the surrounding countryside too, they ask Jesus to leave. They've got Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, the source of all life and healing. They've got him right there. And instead of asking him to heal what ails them too, instead of sitting at his feet and hearing the good news of the kingdom of God, instead of following and seeing what else Jesus might do, they ask him to leave. They get scared. I presume they think, we've never done it that way. He'll ruin everything. We're not used to this. He'll take our jobs. It will cost us too much. In their foolishness and concern for themselves, they turn Jesus himself away. They deport him back to the country he came from. Working for the kingdom of God is not always popular. In fact, even for the man who receives healing, the path of Jesus is not easy. He begs to go with Jesus, to get out of there, but Jesus sends him to something much more difficult, proclaiming God's healing in his life, yes, but proclaiming it to the very people who had kept him in chains and known him as Legion. While the people of his town respond in fear to Jesus, the one who is saved has the courage to follow Jesus' command, to go where he is known, but known by unpleasant names, to speak of his healing and his salvation, to proclaim the good news. Sisters and brothers, in the waters of baptism, we too are saved. We receive healing, forgiveness of sins, newness of life, and with those come new names. In the waters of the font, God calls us beloved child of God. We take on the label, the name, Christian. When we come up out of the waters, we literally carry with us the name of Christ. And as a new member of the church, then, we are part of the body of Christ on earth. That's our name, and it matters. It's powerful. This name means that we are those who follow Jesus the Christ in bringing healing, clothing, dignity to those in need, not because they were from the right country, not because it was economically prudent to do so, but because that's what Jesus does, and we are the ones who follow Jesus, or we're not. In the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we are the ones who have been healed, forgiven, and restored. Having seen what Jesus has done, will we be afraid? Will we ask Jesus to go back where he came from and leave us alone? Thank you. Or will we have the courage to serve the one who has healed us? Lord, give us the courage, as your beloved, to live into our names, followers of Christ. Amen.
of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Joining our voices with God's people around the world, we offer our prayers for all those in need. Lord, we pray for all servants of your gospel, for the church throughout the world, and for all who sing the praise and glory of God, that through the gift of faith, all declare the wonderful name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for the well-being of creation, for mountains and lakes, for fields and forests, and for plants and animals, that God lift up good stewards to care for the entire earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations and their rulers, that all would work for peace. We pray for aid workers and for people in war-torn areas, that God raise up leaders and advocates to work for the equality of all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who cry out in any need, for the hungry and poor, for the downtrodden and outcast, for the grieving and the sick, especially Burnett, the family of Harold, Lydia, the family of John, Lydia, Sheila, Gary, the family of Sue, Bill, Joanne, Jana, Harold, Bonnie, Noah, Kevin, James, Vince, Lore, Scotty, Tyler, Ed, the family of Kathy, Laura, the family of Joe, Jen, Eric, Judy, Misty, the family of Bobby, Tim, Alice, Al, the family of Gil, Dan, and all those we name now. We pray, Lord, for Walter as he prepares to deploy, and all those we name, that all would know that God is near and hears their cries. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For teachers already preparing for the upcoming school year, for those who are traveling and absent from worship, for those who visit our congregation, that God's love lead them in their daily vocations. We pray, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for all baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, including those who have died, particularly Harold and Johnny. Confident, Lord, that we belong to you in life and in death. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, you hear the prayers of your people even before they are spoken. We commend these and all our prayers to you, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace.
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy,
in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, broke it, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
God, you take away the sin of the world.
Thank you.
Let's pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
We'll say our mission statement together, which is on page 5.
As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond with loving action to the needy world.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.